Right, okay, let's get cracking. So welcome everybody to the, I think it's the fourth one of our mediation webinars. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Adrienne Hardy at MPM Legal. I'm a partner here and we are a boutique employment firm and business immigration, supporting businesses with all kinds of employee related issues from the door at the start of recruitment right through to leaving and beyond. Today's session is being recorded, and the recording will be up on our website in case you didn't get a chance to see this. And I'm talking to people who are listening to that recording, or if you have to leave early, of course, because business is pressing. Also, the audio will be uploaded on our Spotify channel if you search for MPM Legal Employment 101, where you can access all of our other webinars as well. As always, really happy to have questions. We like engagement. So, in the Q&A function below, feel free to pose your questions and we will run through them as we go along. And if we don't get to any, then my apologies because we're short on time, but we will come back to you. So, if you ask the questions, do not fret. We are not going to turn your camera on. We're not going to name you. We won't ask you to speak. It's literally type away, drink your coffee, and listen to Michael's pearls of wisdom. So, right, morning, Mike. Bring us up to
Morning.
speed. What do we cover last time, and where are we going today?
Okay, we looked last time at working with mediation, having it in the workplace as an additional tool for conflict resolution. And I thought the natural follow-on from that topic was to look at what's needed if you are thinking of running either a pilot scheme, which is always a great place to start, or to introduce your own policy on mediation. Where does it fit? What's its relationship with the other policies? And how can you start using it? And how can you measure its success already? So that's what today's about.
All right. Well, kick us off with, what are we actually talking about by a workplace mediation scheme?
It's a scheme whereby informally you're supplementing your other schemes of conflict resolution. So we know about the grievance policy, the disciplinary policy, the capability policies. We know that once upon a time, the ACAS policy was not compulsorily to be followed. But then the law changed to introduce a penalty for not following it in either the employee's case or the respondent's case, the employer's case. So it's become, if you like, the ACAS policies. It's become a bit of a mandated approach to conflict resolution, for fear that you're going to end up, if you go to court or tribunal, with a 25% markup if you didn't follow the policies correctly. That misses the point completely. And I think the idea of a mediation scheme is to supplement your approach, and you interject mediation as an option before you go to grievance or disciplinary in appropriate cases. Definitely, in most grievance cases, getting the parties to talk with an independent party, an impartial, a neutral, a mediator, will always take the heat out of a formal grievance process and save you bags of money and time in HR and in the business, especially. And also lowers the temperature of the conflict itself. It may resolve issues, it may leave some that may need to go to grievance, but actually it's the best place to start. Why wouldn't you mandate your people to talk to each other and take accountability for their own actions? By simply saying in a policy, we expect you to try and sort out your issues with your colleagues. If you can't, or if you're fearful or intimidated, come and talk to us. We'll see what we can do otherwise. But expecting employees to deal with the issues they face in the workplace, in principle, is a great way of empowering them. But also expecting them to take accountability for their own actions and not running to HR to raise a grievance against colleagues without really thinking about whether there were other better ways of resolving those issues. So mediation is a supplemental scheme of conflict. It's a bit like an umbrella policy you're looking at. One client I'm working with at the moment calls it workplace issues resolution policy. And within that umbrella, they front-loaded the policy to talk about mediation and what's expected and how it works. And then at the back end of the policy, they've slotted in their grievance policy, their disciplinary policy, their capability policy. So it's it becomes an one-stop place, if you like, for all the resolution terms. But you're trying to delay engaging with the formal policy for as long as you can, in the hope that something better by way of solution comes along. Now, you know from earlier sessions, mediation doesn't work in every case. Where the business needs to intervene on misconduct or gross misconduct, discrimination claims, criminal behaviour, then mediation is simply not appropriate. But if you've got the policy in place already, you can skip to the formal part if you need to. And any drafting of the umbrella policy will allow you to do that.
I think that's the point, isn't it? It's the head it off at the pass, so jump it in an earlier stage. And actually, that ties in quite well with a question that's been put in our little Q&A function. Thank you very much. The question is, hasn't the tribunal service brought in three different types/options for mediation, which ETs are stating should be used if mandated by the judge? Now, I mean, my view is, yes, that may well be the case. But of course, we don't want to wait until we get to the employment tribunal, do we? Because what we're talking about is jumping on these sort of like personality clashes or disputes or conflicts in ways of working at a much earlier stage, because obviously by the time you get to the employment tribunal, positions have got polarized, decisions have been made which upsets one party or another, and a bag of time and cost has been spent. I think that's probably fair to say.
Yes, I think this topic today is about looking at your internal processes. But it's a great question, because at last, I've been praying for this to happen for over 20 years in the UK civil justice system, that mediation is at last being mandated by judges.
Yeah.
The US have had that power in the district court system for 30 years or more.
And so we're way behind the curve. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've never seen a problem with the judge saying, you need to go and talk about this before the case goes on. But the idea of a judge mandating judicial mediation, judicial assessment, where the judge is asked, if you like, to give you an indication of how they would award compensation if the litigation was successful on liability questions, that's a new one and quite a useful one.
Yeah.
But for now, we're just looking at the internal conflict stages and heading off any issues we can at the pass. Now, when you've got an issue between the employee and the employer, there is scope for allowing your policy to appoint an external mediator to try and resolve that issue between you before it gets to the litigation stage, pre-litigation mediation. I've done many of those for businesses. And you're stopping the battle lines being drawn, if you like, just to pick up on the theme of that question. So some lawyers will advocate you can't mediate until you've got to disclosure and beyond. Well, I disagree with that completely. You can mediate, talk about your issues at any stage. And the sooner you start doing so, the less of the conflict and the less of the costs. That's my experience, and that's where I come from. Even though that might be doing me out of fees, ADR, an alarming drop in revenue, as some lawyers think, I think it's good for business. It's good for the lawyer's reputation. But when you ask turkeys to vote for Christmas, you know what the response is going to be. Why would we advocate compulsory mediation in all litigation? Well, because the big fees of litigation will be lost.
Yeah, that makes no sense for a business at all, does it? You can head it off at the pass and smooth things over. Absolutely.
And you often find that mediation gives the parties the chance to go beyond the issues and find something more beneficial to them. So where you've got business-to-business mediation in a conflict situation over terms of a contract, you often find that that turns into a supplemental negotiation which improves the relationship as a result of the conflict. Mm. Because they've got through that, they found a way forward, and they realize actually there is a good relationship worth preserving.
Yeah.
all sorts of reasons why mediation should be considered whenever there's a conflict on the horizon.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, okay. So we're thinking about introducing a scheme, say. So what steps do we need to take? What are we looking at?
The best way to do this, you can do it low-key. You don't need a policy to do this. You can introduce, if you like, an informal pilot scheme where within HR, typically, you appoint a stakeholder and the HR team more widely and the business stakeholders understand there's a pilot scheme being run, whereby you might be saying, right, we've looked at the number of grievances we've had in the last 12 months or the previous 24 months. We want to do something about that. We want to cut down the time we're wasting on arguing about the past. So we're going to offer mediation as soon as we get someone approaching us, either with a formal grievance or with a topic that points to a conflict existing somewhere. And that just requires HR to have some champions within the HR team that have been trained on the principles of mediation and can actually have that exploratory conversation with an individual as soon as the issue arises to, if you like, take it away from the formal parallel, move it on to the conflict resolution parallel. And if someone comes to you and says, look, I've got an issue with my manager, he's not giving me time to talk about my issues over work, etc., then that person's typically intimidated by the moment and doesn't want to formally raise a grievance, but they might welcome the opportunity to sit down with their manager with a mediator where both of them come to mediation as equals. They don't come as manager and employee.
Yeah.
They typically will meet off the premises, but they come as commonplace individuals who share the same employment or same employer. And the idea is to get the manager to say, right, let's reset the performance discussion. Here's what success looks like. This is where you are. You need to do X, Y, Z to get you onto that platform. Or can you set me some objectives? He can cover anything the parties consider important. And that's its flexibility and that's its appeal, I think.
Yeah. And it's I'd be very interesting to know to anybody out there who's listening to this, how many times perhaps that somebody's come to you and said, I've got an issue. And because I see this quite often where somebody, I've got an issue. And, you know, the normal response is, do you want to raise a grievance? How do you want to look at this? And they go, oh, no, I don't want to raise a grievance. And I think actually that puts HR in a really difficult position because they've been made aware that there's a potential issue. But the toolkit, the traditional toolkit of a grievance policy, you're like, do I use that? Do I treat it as a grievance? How do I do it? And I could see actually that, you know, the lovely response to this would be, okay, look, you don't want to raise a formal grievance, but we have this resolutions approach. We've got this scheme running. I think that would be perfect for this. Are you in? And, you know, the employee might then go, well, I feel like I'm being listened to. I feel like I'm being supported. And yeah, let's give it a shot. So, you know, if that's something that's happened to your business, then, you know, pop your comments in the Q&A. We'll call it the Q&A/chat. And then, because it'd be really interested to get some feedback on that. So in terms of introducing, you're talking about this pilot scheme and running a scheme. Is there a sort of like an optimum time to introduce it? When, you know, what's your experience on that?
I think the sooner the better. It nips it in the bud, as you've said earlier. And I think the way to do it is to have that confidential chat with an individual. If they want to hear more about mediation, they're welcome to contact, for example, me. And my job then is to talk to them about the process, what's involved, that it's actually, if you like, completely separate, confidential and impartial. It's a voluntary scheme too. They can join it and leave it at any stage. There's no compulsion. And if they like the idea of having a conversation with me or a mediator, then what I would suggest back to HR is that before you reach out to us, you have the conversation with the other party to say, look, we've got this issue that's come in, that's been raised. Would you be open to discussing it with your colleague, either informally with, for example, the HR contact, mediating informally or starting off that conversation, or if you prefer, we can introduce you to an external mediator to ensure the whole conversation is confidential. And as soon as I get a contact from HR, I always ask, can you confirm that both parties have indicated a willingness to talk to me about mediation and its options here? And then I ask for their contact details. And if I've got their contact details, I know that they have had that conversation already and they're up to hear more about what mediation might offer. And then I email them initially, introduce myself, introduce the process, ask them to commit to it if they're interested, and then suggest that we have a Teams or a telephone call follow up so that they can see me and decide whether they're happy with me as the mediator, the process. I answer any questions. I then pretty much go through a checklist that I have to ensure that they are, I think, ready to have that conversation together. They feel safe and protected enough with me as mediator, and they're willing to do it. And then after, it escalates through email conversations individually with them. And then I bring them together jointly in a meeting, either over Teams or preferably in person, at a time that suits for the discussions to take place. So introducing your scheme can be very, it can be as formal as you want it to be. Some businesses like to have a policy in place first and to train formally. Alternatively, as I've seen a huge employer in the automotive sector do so, because I was running the pilot scheme for them, they just said, right, what we're going to do, where we've got these category of issues that come into HR, we'll suggest mediation and we'll suggest a conversation with yourself. From there, I was able to see the nature of the issues, the common themes coming out. And surprisingly, it was performance is the common theme. We ended up doing more mediations for them over performance questions than any other issues.
Yeah, well, I think that's quite relevant. We've had quite a few comments and questions, and that just coming on to that last point. One of our listeners has said that you know, in terms of the person who doesn't want to raise a formal grievance, that's exactly the situation they're finding themselves now. And they have arranged a mediation session with the manager to preempt a bullying claim. Now, I find that that's interesting when you're talking about performance, because in my view, one person's performance management can very often be another person's bullying claim, because there's that disconnect in terms of approach or objectives, etc. So the fact is, we've got somebody who's listening to this who is in exactly that process, and in fact they've said they've done a mediation training course a few years ago and they found it very, very helpful. So thank you for that. That's really important feedback. I've got a couple of questions that have come up interesting one, Mike, if I can just chuck them at you. One of the questions that's been asked is how should we deal with issues of cultural diversity in the workplace mediation? Now, I would have thought that was an absolute perfect topic for mediation, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think it sounds part of the wider needs to educate, make aware our people over all of the diversities among our people we have. That's a general expectation, isn't it? To work on the cultural message of of diversity and what it truly means for our organisation.
I mean, that can mean cultural diversity can mean all kinds of things, can't it? It can mean the culture of the company, or it can mean one person's culture, which is perhaps not understood by other people. So you've got that real possibility of being able to say, this is what my cultural background is. This is how I run my life, and this is how I see that fitting with my workplace. And you've not embraced that. You've not engaged with it, and that way you can have this conversation, out of which presumably a whole bunch of learnings can come. But what you don't want is that to go to a grievance.
No, and I think it's a great question, in the sense that if you've got a situation where the employee or one of the employees is feeling their cultural background is not being respected sufficiently, but it's not a situation where there's a complaint of discrimination, harassment, or victimization, for example, then mediation would be a great place to have both parties, those with those considerations, those involved in the discussion, if you like, to come together, because mediation does expect you to look at the world through the eyes of the other parties, and to imagine what that would mean for you if you're in that situation. And having them do that away from any formal process is a great way of education.
Yes.
So depending on the nature of the issue, there is a fine line between someone being disrespected on cultural grounds or ethnic background grounds, for example, which I would think there comes a point where the business must intervene if it's veering more towards discrimination, harassment, or victimization issues.
Yeah.
But if it's a genuine sort of misunderstanding that could have its foundations in cultural considerations, then training for the team, coaching for the team, mediation for the team, the principles of mediation do transfer very comfortably into the coaching world. But if there is an issue that's personal, then it's more mediation than it is coaching. But no, very, very exciting question. Good question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Got another one for you then as well. So the previous attendee that I read, the question I read out, said that they've been on a training course. At the risk of doing you out of a job, obviously we do want to encourage mediators throughout anyway. The purpose of this is to highlight it, as well as obviously for me to say, go to Mike. But one of the questions is, do you have any recommendations on providers that HR can use to become mediators? I don't know if that's something that you can have a think about and maybe post it, but how does that work?
Well, we offer sort of introductory training to HR and business to give them some basic mediation skills. You don't get accreditation at the end of the training, but it's de facto on the job coaching and training to allow the business to have some measure of skills within it to recognize issues that might be more suitable for mediation than the formal processes. I was talking to a business at the start of this year about training two of their HR personnel on the basics of mediation and the principles involved and the processes, so that they could recognize issues that came forward. And then they would talk to me, for example, and I would recommend whether it would be something that I could do, or if not, one of my associates in my network I could recommend, because it's not always a lawyer that's needed for a mediator. Often you can find a mediator who's a coach as well, or an HR provider or director. It's a broad church of skills and professionals who get involved in internal mediations as opposed to legal mediations once litigation started. But I'm always happy to recommend colleagues that I've worked with in the past, if you like, on other businesses' mediation schemes where it hasn't been appropriate for me to deal with the mediation itself.
Right, well, there we go then. So if you want to drop Mike a line, he can follow up with that with you. So just I'm just gonna say, in terms of if you've decided you're going to do a pilot scheme and you want to make a big song and dance about this, you know, where do you start? Do you do an employee poll, or what do you do?
I think it's something that is probably beyond an employee poll, because if you ask your employees whether they'd be interested in a mediation scheme, I can pretty much guarantee that most people will say, what's mediation? How's it going to change my life? Best place to start is to work out from the data that you have, what's your ET record? How many claims have you seen in the last 2 or 3 years? What's the number of grievances? What's your legal costs on litigation? If you stand back and you see a rising trend, then that's the trigger to say, right, let's try something else. Yeah. I guarantee you, it's one of my best selling points, I guarantee you that if you embark with mediation in these conflict zones, you will save a massive amount of time and money. Historically, I've kept data, and using an internal mediation process, for example, for a behavioral issue or for a performance issue, you end up spending on time and money about 10% of the time otherwise you would spend. So if you get an issue with an employee not getting on with their manager and you ring me up, I'd say, okay, right, for a half a day mediation, that's going to cost you £1,000 to £1,500. HR, you don't need to do anything other than to ask the parties whether they're happy to talk to me. You don't have to investigate anything. You don't get involved. You just outsource it, if you like, to me. And if the parties are agreeable, then we do an online mediation or an in-person mediation for half a day or 2 half days. It's going to cost you somewhere between £1,500 and £2,500 for a day's mediation. But more importantly, the bits you can't measure about are the sort of factors you can't measure are, you've stopped the rot from going any further. You've put people back together. They've recognized how each of them look at the world and what pushes their buttons, if you like, what triggers their anxieties or their fears or their intimidation, etc. And it resets the relationships for them. So therefore, you save the HR time, you save external legal time or internal legal time even. You have to understand its true value, you have to apportion notional values to HR and internal business time. And if you do that using the CIPD conflict surveys over the years, you can see the number of days typically spent on managing a grievance or a disciplinary have increased because the laws become more complicated and employees have become more knowledgeable about their rights and how to fight and deal with these issues. But by hitting it quickly, you save all that time and you head off the chances and the prospects of having to face a tribunal claim, because you're putting the people who have the problem together in a safe zone. And, you know, if you get to a tribunal, you can reveal they went to mediation. You can't reveal what they discussed because it's confidential. Mm. But that is a great credibility vote for them, because the tribunals will say, this is brilliant. This is over and above what ACAS requires. And you've really tried to stop litigation happening, but here we are. Mm. So it lowers the temperature, it saves time and money, it gives massive amounts of time back to HR on the day-to-day business, where time is obviously always like hours, always being sort of always draining away. And it outsources it and in a way manages it more neatly and discreetly. And employees, where it's been used in the pilot scheme I'm thinking of, whether or not they actually reached agreement over their issues, they were very complimentary about how they felt they were heard within the mediation process, when actually they weren't taking on the organization that they would have been had they raised a grievance.
Yeah.
They able to vent and get off their chest what was important and what they wanted to see as a compromise. And whether or not that resulted in an outcome, a morally binding outcome, it didn't matter so much. They'd been heard back to work, and they were able just to get past the issue. That's what you want. You don't want sick days that you can't measure as the true source of the problem, etc. You know,
data subject access requests, all that stuff that sucks the life force. So we're almost out of time, so I'm going to hurry you along a little bit and just ask one just final question is, if we're going to introduce a new sort of resolutions policy, the umbrella policy, is there any requirement to consult with staff over it? Is there any impact on like the contractual relationship?
Assuming your conflict policies are not contractual, like in most cases they're not, they're house rule policies, if you like, so you're free to change them as and when you want. You can just introduce this and then you cascade the news. And that's what I'm doing for a client at the moment. We put together a policy that actually is front loads it with mediation as the message. It's going to be then published on their intranet. And then the first time they get a conflict, they're going to reach out to me to see where they go next with it and how they just, if you like, introduce it by stealth or on the job, rather than making a big splash about it and face a huge amount of time having to explain what's involved.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant.
Any questions we haven't answered that we could quickly do now if we've got a few moments or...
No, I think we've covered quite a lot. There was a lot of sort of comments that were made in favour of it, including somebody who said that following your open mic session, little flag for that, went to mediation, and the employee who I think was described as troublesome resigned and left after mediation. So it may be that sort of like recognition moment, shall we say, that a mediation process can also deliver. That maybe it's not always one way.
It's completely open book mediation. It can, and I've had mediations in the past where both parties, manager and employee, have recognised the employee's in the wrong job.
Yes.
And the manager can consents to try and help them find another job in the organisation, or to start a conversation with HR about a departure, an agreed amicable part departure. Yeah. So that's a solution. It's an outcome. It's a compromise the parties can live with.
Yeah.
To get past the problem. So
I
think, just to finish, mediation is completely alien to us as lawyers and HR initially, because we've been conditioned on looking for a process for everything. Ticking the box. Where do we go next? Have we done the appeal? Have we done the outcome? Have we done et cetera, et cetera? Mediation is just an open book. It's a piece of blank canvas that says, okay, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Let's go do it.
Yeah. That's great though, isn't it? That's proper freedom, isn't it? Yeah. And the beauty of having an external mediator as well is that, you're free to ask questions that perhaps internal HR might be a little bit nervous about asking for fear of it coming back to bite them. The discussion around, do you think you might be in the wrong job type of conversation, which somebody could turn on its head and say, it felt like I was being pushed out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you shouldn't undervalue the benefit of having an external mediator, because it does guarantee, certainly if they're a lawyer, they're guaranteed professionally to respect confidentiality.
Yeah,
I can be struck off if I don't. So that's a great guarantee to sell the idea to someone who's perhaps teetering between going to some internal champion where their conflict of interest may be coming along because they've got the business to think about, they've got their own line manager to think about, whereas an external mediator doesn't have any of that.
No.
And they're here just for the good of the parties and finding a solution, helping them get to their outcome. I would always advocate external mediation support. Yeah.
Mm. Wonderful. Right. We're out of time, everybody. So thank you very much for attending today. Again, just quick reminder that the recording of this will go up on our website and hit Spotify. If you've got any questions anything you think about after this session, by all means, please just ping Mike an email. He's always happy to talk about mediation, as you can tell. Yeah. It's something he's incredibly passionate about. And then the final one of this mediation series will be on Thursday, the 12th of October, usual time, 11 a.m. coffee/tea time, and we'll be talking about appointing us as your mediator and what might be involved. I say appointing us, I obviously don't mean me. I'm not a mediator, Mike is. So thanks ever so much, everybody, for attending today.
Yes, indeed. Likewise. Thank you, everyone.